Hello, listeners. This is Janine.
And Stephanie.
And welcome to the 18th version of the Course of Course podcast, Valentine's Day edition. Tell us how your week went.
I had lots of things happening. I think one of the biggest reliefs was just getting caught up at work like once and for all, and all the peace and freedom that came from that.
So why do you think you were not caught up?
Because I have to keep this diary of everything that happens for legal reasons, and I was behind.
I see.
So because I felt out of integrity, I needed to get back into integrity. And then I felt worthy of asking for a raise, because then I realized it had been a long time.
And I'm so proud of you for that.
Didn't even know.
I love your phrasing, out of integrity. And I like the fact that perhaps, at least in the raise perspective, you may have been out of integrity with yourself.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And now it's kind of like reclaiming that. Like, it's okay. You know, you deserve a raise. For listeners, Stephanie did write an email, and I was fortunate enough to read it, and I thought it was so well written. Because basically, you were enrolling your boss into the solution, which is always a good thing to do.
Yeah, I feel like in this particular lifetime, I've been the stepchild or something. Like, every position I've been in work-wise, I've been a subsidiary of a parent company, and the subsidiary was kind of looked on like they didn't contribute enough to warrant paying them out like normal people. I don't know. It's just some weird illusion I created of injustice, which you also have.
Oh, yes. I think a lot of our listeners experience that kind of this isn't fair lifetime.
Yeah, like I was an employee and then all of a sudden I was an employee. Like all these things, right. Yet I'm working on one of the biggest franchises ever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they should take care of me.
Absolutely. But I like the fact that you're taking care of yourself.
Yeah, you know, regardless if I ever get the raise or not, I feel at peace with it.
Yeah, there's no harm in asking for something.
Yeah, and I mean, the reality is my medical premiums keep going up. Like once, twice, three times a year, and it's gone up 130% since the last time I got a raise. And
which is astounding.
I mean, paying $771 a month for medical insurance is insane.
It is insane. But I also think it's a byproduct of this bizarre
greedy,
but this multiple instantiations of our spiritual being that we have somehow dreamed collectively in the United States of America to have this weird kind of healthcare system which doesn't really exist for most of us.
Yeah, that doesn't want to take care of people unless you pay them.
So I wonder what that is about us individually that we are kind of co-creating this dream.
I mean, it's suffering. That's something they keep asking when I'm listening to the Jane and Gary podcasts. Mm-hmm. Whatever's coming up, like, what is it for? Well, it's always for forgiveness.
Correct.
I mean, that's the simple, direct way. But besides that, there's nuances, which, of course, we as egos just create.
Well, and that's blabber. A really good point. Health, I guess, in some bigger perspective, is really an ego position, right? Oh, I'm healthy, I'm not healthy, I'm sick, or whatever. It's all ego kind of manifesting in one way or the other, because as pure God beings, mm-hmm. none of this really exists with God.
But here we are in this dimension, and health, you know, costs, and you have to take care of yourself and eat well and not be like a sugar bomb. Otherwise, your body's not going to like it.
And yet there are some people who are huge consumers of sugar that seem to be okay. So I find it fascinating just mm-hmm. how we manifest our own ego perspective. And maybe it goes back to the injustice issue. Like, this is so unfair that healthcare costs are so high and, you know, my body's not well. I just wonder how much of our own junk is manifesting when we're dealing with health issues, because mm-hmm. the one thing that is the most important, and people have said this before, you can have billions of dollars, but the reality is the great leveler is health. Mm-hmm. We will all pass away at some point. Our bodies will not withstand time, regardless of how wealthy we are. So it's a matter of trying to figure out how to kind of transcend the whole concept of illness and sickness.
Yeah, I guess health is so important because it keeps the body going.
Mm-hmm.
And without body, then the ego illusion is dead.
Right, but this is the fascinating part about it, because you and I have talked about this on other podcasts. The whole goal here is to not have a body, right?
Right.
It's to like transcend and go back to God.
Yeah.
But in the third dimension world in which we are dreaming presently, the body's everything. So we are working really hard to keep it healthy. So what? So we
live longer
and have more forgiveness opportunities. I think that's really the point. But we lose that.
The only reason why I want to keep living right now is to keep learning the course, because, you know, I'm on lesson 199. I still have the whole rest of the book to finish. I have the manual for teachers to get through, and I really want to get through all this before I leave.
Before you croak.
I'm committed. We're both going to be students for the rest of our lives.
Correct. And I kind of like that. I like the label of student, a course student. It feels the most empowering of anything I think I've done, because I feel like it's the most rewarding. I believe that you're a better student than I am, but I also think that I'm getting it in a different way.
Sure.
I was really kind of going back and forth in my mind last week. It's like, Janine, you have to be more diligent in the course lessons, and you have to pay attention, because I'll read them quickly. I'll skim over them and be like, oh yeah, I did that one, but I really didn't do it. So it's kind of like that back and forth. Like, you need to pay more attention. It's my ego coming through again and again.
Yeah, all the ideas of how it's supposed to be.
Correct. And somehow, after I'm done with lesson 365, I'll be perfect and ready to ascend, right? But as we've learned from the, I would say, limited experience we've had with other course students, because we've gone to the Irvine Conference in August, and then we've gone to a Gary Renard and Cindy Renard workshop. We haven't had a huge amount of experience, but I think we know enough at this point. I don't know if attending more conferences are going to push us closer to God necessarily. They are supportive, though.
Definitely.
But I also think our daily experience of just working through stuff and stopping for a second and go, okay, that was my ego. Where am I today? Mm-hmm. I had mentioned before, I think in the last podcast, that my ego really comes out in the morning when I'm getting ready for work. And that means I'm in front of the mirror, usually like drying my hair or something. Mm-hmm. And that's when I have these ego battles, where I start complaining about someone at work or whatever. As soon as I can like shut that stuff down, I think I'd be so much better, because in a way, that's sort of coloring my day.
That's why I have my Post-it campaign in my bathroom on the window.
Again, listeners, your Post-it campaign is to continue to write affirmations and positive comments and stick them on Post-it notes pretty much everywhere. You have them all over the place.
Yeah, as I come across something that really resonates with me, I usually will write it up.
Which is such a great idea, because it keeps reminding us, okay, I need to focus on this particular thing.
The Lord's Prayer and the Forgotten Song. I look at that and I think about it word by word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking about 3 to 5 times a day, because I really want to be present to that. I want to visualize when I go to the afterlife that I actually reach for that arc of light, that circle of light where there's no borders and it's endless and there's nothing contained in it and there's nothing else but God and love. Like, I just want to keep painting that image in me so that when the day does happen, I can just jump to that very easily.
We had talked previously about the book, The Afterlife of Billy Fingers. Mm. And that author did such an amazing job of kind of painting with words this afterlife experience of going back with God. Mm-hmm. And we were both talking before about how we need to reread it, because some of those chapters were stunning to me.
They were juicy.
Yeah, in the artistic expression of words describing the afterlife.
It's like I could get a picture in my mind, and I guess I'm a visual person, you know, people have different modalities of receiving information. And for me, it's definitely visual.
It's right there.
Which is so weird, because our eyes aren't even real. I mean, you know, like, it's really our mind making
everything.
Well,
we had shared previously, and I don't remember if this is on mic or off mic, that there was a great narrative in the Afterlife of Billy Fingers book, where Billy Fingers, while he's out of body, he has passed away, he meets up with an ex-wife. The way it was written, they just sort of recognized each other and sort of danced around each other in this celestial way. And I just remember thinking that is so beautiful. That passage was amazing to me. It's one of the reasons why I do want to reread the book. And it also sort of highlighted for me one area I feel like I'm really, really starting to get the course. And that's in personal love relationships. I have not been very good at that in this lifetime. And I feel like I'm on the edge of really getting it. Because now I'm starting to be able to look from a distance and not necessarily take everything so personal, and have this ridiculous narrative in my mind about how a man should behave toward me or should appear in a romantic relationship. Because a lot of us are colored by the environment and the culture that we are in. We have certain expectations. A good boyfriend would do this. Yeah. A good girlfriend would do that. And what I'm finding, and I really do kind of credit the course for this, is being able to say, who am I here? who am I in this relationship? As opposed to being the victim, oh, why didn't he do this? Or why didn't he send me a card? And why, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that anymore.
Great.
It's huge for me, considering the many, many relationships I've had. And I kind of like the fact that this is our Valentine's edition of The Course of Course. And I feel like I'm more in love with myself now than I ever have been. I've been carrying around a lot of guilt from how I might have behaved in previous romantic relationships. Being able to sort of slowly release it. To be honest with you, I still feel a lot of guilt from kind of how I've behaved previously. But I also think, and we've talked about this before, time heals all wounds. Mm-hmm. And the idea of me wounding anyone intentionally, it's really hard for me. So if I have ever said to, let's just say, a boyfriend in high school, oh, I can do better than you. Not that I've said that, but I think there have been times I've thought that, and how ridiculous that is now. Because we're so ego kind of driven when we're younger, and certainly older. I'm not going to say as mm-hmm. an older person, I'm not ego driven, but I'm hoping that slowly I am basically getting my ego under control, which ain't easy.
For a minute
or two.
Until tomorrow.
And then tomorrow happens.
Something else is invented.
Exactly. And it's like, what? I can't believe they did that. I mean, I still feel like a victim in traffic. And we were talking about previously when we have, let's just say, we call them beauty appointments. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the person who's performing these appointments on us might be a little slow. And then we get so upset about that. It's like, my time is valuable. Well, I guess their time is valuable too. I keep forgetting that.
Yeah, but sometimes what should take 2 hours shouldn't take three.
But maybe it's taking three because we co-created that time.
We designed it
that way. I know. Oh, I hate taking responsibility all the time. It's so much easier when I blamed other people.
I've had something kind of odd happen in the last week or so where I have these visions of dying, mm-hmm. like different ways that the ego might take me out, or even the Holy Spirit, and like, what's my preferred way of dying?
What is your preferred way of dying?
I don't know if that's like common for everyone, but, and I certainly haven't really done much of this in the past, but for some reason now, well, yeah, I guess my preferred way would be to just sleep and not wake up the next day. I think one of the worst ways to go would be getting a disease of some sort, like cancer, and having to have treatments and IVs and radiation and throwing up and losing your hair and all that crap.
See, my thing is, I like when we're talking about, do we have a choice in dying? My choice would be immediate. So it would be an accident, honestly. I'd rather not go in a car, but whatever. I'm in a car, a train, a plane.
Hmm.
Part of me, and I know this is like such an ego part of me, but it's like, well, if I go down in a plane crash, then maybe my relatives could get money for me.
Oh, but that's good.
Just thinking ahead, you know.
Well, every time I'm washing my hair and I, you know, it's very easy that I could slip. I mean, I have slipped many times.
Well, I've fallen and hit my head and it made my head go. I bled. I had a cut in my skull.
I forgot about that.
Not my skull, but my scalp.
That was like a year ago. It wasn't even that long
ago. It was August. It was right before I went down to the conference down in Orange County. And thankfully, my sister was here.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, I was like, if I was by myself, I don't know what I would have done. Because, you know, any gash around your head, it bleeds a lot. Mm. And the back of my head was bleeding so bad, I literally thought that I had opened up my scalp. And I don't know what I would have done if she wasn't here. She came in and is like, look, it's okay. This is what happened. If she didn't have that calming voice, you know, I was like, oh, okay, I'm fine.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that and thinking, you should go to the hospital. You could have a concussion.
And I was like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably should have, but I didn't. But now that I've done that, I kind of feel like I'm good now. Like, I don't think it's going to happen again.
That's good.
You know, it's like I got it done.
That's funny.
It's weird. It's like I do it once, I don't have the fear again.
That's good. Well, there is other ways I've thought of. Like today I was peeling a tangerine to put into my salad and something was weird about the skin of it. And even though the fruit itself looks good and... But I tasted it and it was horrible. So I tossed the whole thing out. So then I was going, oh, what if I got like food poisoning, like the people who've eaten spinach or green onions and they've all gotten sick and some of them have died. What if I go that way?
Wow, you really go there.
Oh, I go.
You're like, very fatalistic.
Like you could not imagine. Or all the choking that happens on food and on beverages. And I don't know what it is about wondering how I'm going to die. All I know is I don't want to die until the Holy Spirit says it's time.
Right.
Regardless of when I do die, I'm always going to ask for HSJ.
Sure.
But I think one of my fears is not completing the course. And yet maybe if I were to die before I finish the course, maybe I will have gotten it on some level.
Well, here's the thing. I thought about this before, like, I can't go to God unless I complete the course. The reality is there's probably so many, many people who have gotten to God perfectly fine without the course. Mm-hmm. I don't think Billy Fingers did the course.
That's a good point.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I love the course. I think it's fantastic, but I guess I'm not as attached to it as an outcome. Like, I can't go back to God unless I complete all of it.
I've also been feeling it's weird, like these dichotomies. I guess it's because of the duality of these ways I could die. But in my lessons, it's lately been about the body and realizing that none of this is real and letting go. Like right now it says, I am not the body, I am free. I hear the voice that God has given me, and it is only this that my mind obeys. So I've been feeling comforted a little bit, like a little bit of freedom or a little bit more safety. Like, I'm not afraid to go do my laundry in the garage anymore. Like, someone's going to jump me.
Yeah, you had some strange, fears, I guess.
Maybe it's because I've been single for most of my life, and as a woman, having been attacked a couple of times, it's kind of always there. And
well, let's be clear for our listeners. You haven't been attacked physically.
No, I have.
Oh, you have? Who attacked you physically?
When I lived in London, I was on a date with this guy.
Oh, my goodness.
And he jumped me and tried to...
That's not good.
He tried and I fought back. But on that night, my keys went missing. My passport went missing. My purse went missing. Like, everything was stolen. I don't know if it was him or someone else, but it was a weird night.
That is frightening.
Yeah. And there's been a couple other times when weird things have happened, but...
So you have more traditional fears. My fear is that I will die and my home is all dirty.
Ah.
These are the weird fears I have. Like, well, who will take care of my cat? I know that you'll take care of my cat, but it's just like the weirdest things. Like, really? Doesn't anyone really care about that? Because so what?
They'll read my diary or something, yeah, and they'll see how much I talked about a certain person and...
You know, I think writing journals is fascinating because you have a journal. For a while, I would write stuff down. And then because I have this privacy issue that I'm hoping to kind of release, I never liked the idea of somebody being able to read my private thought. But my sister, bless her heart, she took a photocopy of my mom's journals. My mom has passed. She made copies for all of my siblings, so all of the children of my mother. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful to have learned some of her thoughts. And I thought, well, maybe I could provide that to other people. Well, I was talking about, like, you know, when you pass and people are able to read,
yeah,
kind of like your
intimate
thoughts, right? Mm-hmm. So that was a bit of my fear, but now I kind of like, whatever. Like, we were talking before about, you know, when we pass, do we really care? No. My goal, A1 goal, is to get back to God.
Yeah, to not have to come back
there. If that happens in the Janine lifetime or it happens to some other subsequent lifetime, okay, but that's so my goal now, and I don't ever remember thinking this or saying it 2 years ago.
Oh, not even.
Because it wasn't even like thought of in my brain that it's possible, or that I couldn't go there anyway, because the New Age kind of concept is you pass and you go back to God, certainly in the Catholic religion, and then you have a big feast and then what, right? It doesn't go very deeply. Now that the course is in my life, I feel like so much information and the destination is richer. I have a purpose now, and that purpose is to
remember who we are.
Remember who we are.
And to keep giving it up.
Right, and the distractions of the ego and all this ridiculous dream state stuff, it just simply isn't necessary. I feel like my job now, my number one job as Janine, is to get past this. Just get past the ego, get past the work angst, which doesn't exist anyway. Stop making other people victimizers, or, you know, there's some sort of evil in my life. Yeah, exactly. I wrote those roles in my play, and I need to take responsibility for that.
And actually, like, embrace it and love it and forgive it. Yeah.
Not to loving part yet, but I get what you're saying. One day I hope I will be there.
Well, what I didn't know is I think one reason why I hadn't been asking for a raise for a while was because of guilt. Guilt, like I'm not doing it right or I'm not doing my best because I'm torn between do I want to be here or do I like what I'm doing or...
I feel like I had been living in fear a lot with my job. Like I felt like I had to turn on my laptop when I had a vacation day because I was afraid something was happening and I had to address it. As though I'm so darn important in my work life that if I don't log into email on a day off, then something bad will happen. Like I will have to reap some sort of consequences. And it's been kind of a struggle for me. Like, just stop it. It's almost like, what is that word? Like narcissistic, egocentric personality disorder where I felt like I'm so darn important that if I don't do this, bad things are going to happen.
But you were also in charge of a group of people. So yes. You were accountable and, like I said, in charge. So if something did break down, bosses would be coming to you.
Mm-hmm.
But now you've got everyone trained. So now they can kind of take care of things and you don't have to be there. Well done. Congratulations.
Right. And part of it was if I'm not seen as being important, then I would be let go.
Ah.
Right. So yeah, there's all this fear coming in. And now I'm slowly getting to the point where it's like, well, if I'm let go, it's okay because there's other opportunities.
Yeah.
This isn't the only one.
Yeah. It is freeing to just kind of be like, the Holy Spirit is going to take care of me no matter what. It's all scripted out. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. All we can do is just be joy and love. And it was interesting. I went to lunch on Friday. Was that yesterday? And there was this man walking through the intersection. I happened to turn and I think I was like happy in that moment. And I was like radiating and he was radiating. And I went, oh my God, that guy is radiating. And it's like we had this moment and we're just smiling. And when he got to the curb, he turned back and looked into the car at us. And I just shouted out to him, love your spark.
Well, that was weird.
And he started crossing the street and he stopped in the middle of the street as he was holding up traffic. And he turned back around at me and he said, what did you say? And I said, I love your spark. It was just the weirdest moment of just... There's certain times when I feel like I meet someone who's on the same path.
Yeah.
You know, who knows what his path really is, but he was genuinely lit up.
Wow.
And I love coming across those kinds of people. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's more of my natural way of being. And and I love seeing people react or respond to me and my joy and my happiness. And
right.
That's kind of all that matters. I mean, that's what the Holy Spirit wants us to be. And
yeah, absolutely.
And I just, you know, even though the mind is constantly going because of the ego driving us down the crazy train, just want to keep giving it up to the Holy Spirit. And
yeah, it's a daily moment by moment practice. Yeah.
Bringing that illusion to the truth.
I love having time off. I love weekends. I love holidays.
Mm-hmm.
But I always have to remember that I do love work. I love what I do. And so these moments where I get a break and can do Janine stuff are important because they are providing me the opportunity to go back to work so I can provide also the lifestyle in which being home and relaxing and comfortable furniture in a nice place in a safe neighborhood. These are all gifts. And previously I would look at it like, oh, I have to go to work. How many of us do that? A lot of us. Oh, work, it's terrible. But it's not. It's just we've created it that way. Like we've talked before, you have a really, really amazing, amazing job. But you have freedom and you know what I mean? You're doing what you love and you're good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I am too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's easy to fall back on the old kind of yarn of, oh, I have to go to work. It's Monday. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Because that's part of the culture that's kind of burned into us.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, if somebody had said, given certain situations at work are different, I'd be like, thank God. I get to go to work on Monday.
Yeah, I'm definitely grateful for that paycheck.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm also grateful for the opportunity to be around certain people. I mean, I'm lucky enough on my team to have what I call kind of walking Buddhas, really amazing human beings who I would be so honored to be around regardless of whether I'm working with them or not. And that doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, I'd say you created that.
I did. I'm very proud. It's been quite a journey for me. It's not over yet. I think as I move forward with the course as my guide, things will get better.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you take the course to heart, it's true. I mean, nobody's guilty. It's just an illusion.
Forgiveness has come up a lot this week, as usual. I've watched a couple documentaries. One was The Citizen Four, because I get to vote for the Independent Spirit Awards. I get all these screeners. And it's pretty amazing what Ed Snowden decided to do about passing all these truths.
So this is Edward Snowden, the famous gent who worked for the NSA, who got privileged confidential information, I think.
He was a contractor, actually.
He's a contractor.
He wasn't even in the government, but he had access to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he started leaking it about what the government was doing, kind of based out of the 9/11. All the rights they were trying to take over, like tapping into everyone's phone calls and emails and getting records from the phone companies. And then I watched the one about the giant gorillas in the Congo forest, and that was a really hard one because it was a British company that wanted to come in and mine all of the resources, which are worth billions. And just how this ego drama just continues on.
And that's Veruga, right?
Yeah,
currently Verunda? Showing on Netflix.
Yeah, and I just seeing the rebels and the poaching happening with the tusks from the elephants, and it was kind of a hard movie to watch, but it was really well done, and it was had some complex issues. But seeing everything as a forgiveness opportunity.
Yeah, even though sometimes watching that, it's just painful. It's painful visually. It's painful emotionally. But one thing that we did do this past week is we watched Wicked.
Oh yeah, we went to the musical, the theater.
Right, which is The Wizard of Oz. Gregory Maguire wrote the book Wicked. So this is based on that book. It was so fun. And I love the music. I just loved being in that space. So those are the kind of things when you watch it visually, like, okay, I feel energized and nourished by. Mm-hmm. I think for the stuff that you were talking about is intellectually fascinating, but I don't know emotionally if it's nourishing.
Yeah, I mean, you see people being hurt and animals being hurt, and it doesn't feel good.
Right.
So yeah, I would say it's not nourishing.
Yeah.
It's just another device of the ego.
Right. And we talked before about how the ego likes to take things like morals and ethics and, you know, anger and stuff and use it and twist it and that kind of thing. It's like I'd rather just stay away from that whole concept. Although intellectually I can get why it makes sense to watch it. It's just the injustice part of it. I don't need to keep hammering into my own ego because I have enough of it on my own.
I think I've been thinking more about the separation and how we can view our brothers and sisters, certain close people in my life. One in particular is bipolar, manic, depressive, schizophrenic, really some crazy stuff. There's a dark side to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent him DU and he keeps saying that he's walking around with it. Like, well, you got to read it. You can't just walk around with it.
It's not like a Bible.
It's not going to like osmosisly get into you just because you're walking around.
Osmosisly. New word.
Different, you know, the levels and the fragments and the separations. It's still all from that one mind.
The one mind that we share and that we share with our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to say happy Valentine's Day, especially to our large international fan club, our international following, which we truly appreciate. Mm-hmm. I know that domestically we'll be getting a huge following eventually.
Yeah, once we get our website up.
Once we get a website up. But that
content is key.
Content is key, but certainly that won't deter anyone domestically in the continental United States to go to thecourseofcourse.com or thecourseofcourseblogspot.com
mm-hmm.
and follow us at least on our podcasts for now
mm-hmm.
and see our progress. And hopefully we can take your listener questions mm-hmm. and answer them on the air. So on behalf of you, Stephanie, and everyone who's been in our journey so mm-hmm. far, happy Valentine's Day. And thank you so much. We will come back next week.
Sending love and light.
Exactly. Thank you, listeners. Good night.